You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Decoding 2019. The Lok Sabha elections are almost upon us, and this is the final lead up to the polls, and the kind of cross currents visible around the country are testimony to the fact that this election is quite unlike the previous ones. Till the 2014 elections, it was essentially between two large forces with similar parties for assistance. But 2014 proved that the Congress was no longer the force it had been since independence. In fact, its tally of 44 reduced it to the level of a regional party and also ran. It left the Bharatiya Janata Party as the sole power, pointing to a unipolar party scenario in India. However, by all indications, the BJP has not been able to convert it into a huge advantage when on its own it had a simple majority, something that no other party had managed for decades. It virtually swept the Hindi heartland and Gujarat and Maharashtra. It was the kind of performance that proved extreme muscularity. However, as time went on, it became more and more obvious that it was going to be difficult to replicate such a strong showing. This meant that the almost certain losses in these strongholds would have to be made up in other states and regions. To put it simply, most of these gains would have to come from the south, the east, and the northeast. This election has curiously become a one versus many contest. It is the BJP on one hand and the others on the other. The situation looked like the BJP versus a mega coalition, the Mahagathbandhan, especially given the common goal of the opposition to get rid of the BJP. Or that is how it was talked about as late as a year ago. However, things seem to have changed now, and the BJP too is stitching up an alliance, a wide-ranging alliance, something slightly less than the Mahagathbandhan. Meanwhile, the Mahagathbandhan of the opposition itself has meandered somewhat purposelessly, making this a multilateral fight in a lot of states. What this means is that the dynamics within each state will need tweaking, or in most cases, recalculating. Among the larger states, multilateral contests will be seen in Odisha, West Bengal, Uttar Pradesh, Madhya Pradesh, and Telangana. Kerala does not belong in this group, if only for the fact that it has always been the CPIM versus the Congress there, with nobody else at a national level in the reckoning. This time, though, the BJP is expected to shake things up in at least two constituencies, becoming, in effect, the third front. Traditionally, Uttar Pradesh has been the state that has been in the best focus. After all, it has the largest electorate and the largest number of Lok Sabha seats, almost a seventh of the total. After the bifurcation between Uttar Pradesh and Uttarakhand, UP has still remained the largest, though not by as much of a margin as before. UP, West Bengal, Maharashtra, and Tamil Nadu have by far the biggest say as far as individual states are concerned. With strong regional parties, these states demand that there be an electoral understanding for national parties to make a mark. And in the previous episode of Decoding 2019, we looked at the race that is on in West Bengal, the third largest electorate, or at least the state that sends the third largest number of MPs to the Lok Sabha. And today, we turn the spotlight on Uttar Pradesh. The old saying goes, where UP goes, so India does. And today, that is precisely what we will try to do. We will try and understand what is at stake in Uttar Pradesh, who are the major participants in this race, and is it going to be a multilateral fight after all? Will the SP-BSP alliance make a dent in what the BJP hopes to achieve in the state that is the definition of Hindi heartland? On Decoding 2019, today, we turn the spotlight on Uttar Pradesh. My name is Rakesh Sharma, and you're listening to Money Control.
Decoding 2019, State of the Election, Uttar Pradesh.
So, Uttar Pradesh. It has always attracted the most attention in Lok Sabha polls, and quite naturally, because of the hugely disproportionate number of seats that are available in Uttar Pradesh. A little bit of recent history is more than useful here. In the 2014 Lok Sabha elections, the BJP had literally swept the Hindi belt. Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh, Uttar Pradesh, Bihar, and Chhattisgarh. It had also swept Gujarat, winning everything, and performed exceedingly well in Maharashtra along with the Shiv Sena. Most of its seats had come from these states. In the Hindi heartland, the BJP won 191 out of 226 seats. If that wasn't a sweep, its allies won a further 11 seats for a total tally of 202 seats out of the 226 available for the National Democratic Alliance, that is the NDA. With such an overwhelming performance concentrated in these few states, it is expected that the party will not be able to hold its predominant position and has to lose a few seats. The question is only of how much. In Uttar Pradesh, things are very different from 2014 when the BJP decimated every other party and the Bahujan Samaj Party was blanked even though it contested all the 80 seats there. The 2014 election saw a massive wave against the status quo, with the BJP complementing its Hindutva agenda with a new narrative of inclusive economic growth, wiping out corruption and bringing a new dawn for the nation. The people identified with this package, especially in the north. In Uttar Pradesh, this enabled the BJP to win 71 of the 78 seats it contested. 71 out of 78. Its NDA ally, Apna Dal, won the two seats it contested. In 2019, this narrative is no longer as relevant, with agrarian distress and unemployment taking center stage. The change in mood was shown up well in the assembly elections and some of the key by-elections. Except for gaining the northeast, the BJP has done rather poorly in most other places. In Karnataka, the gains were not so visible, and even though the BJP emerged as the single largest party, it was pipped at the post by the Congress and the JDS stitching together a post-poll alliance and the Congress taking the strategic decision of ceding to the lesser partner. The BJP also lost the important heartland states of Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh and Chhattisgarh to the Congress, even if by the smallest of margins in the first two, that is Rajasthan and Madhya Pradesh. This was a huge turnaround for the Congress, considering that the BJP had more or less wiped out the Congress in these states. But as far as Uttar Pradesh is concerned, it was what happened before these assembly elections that gives a pointer to the prevailing mood and to the possible voting pattern in the upcoming Lok Sabha elections. In March 2018, by-elections were held in Uttar Pradesh to two Lok Sabha seats and one state assembly seat. In a scenario where one party had swept the elections previously, by-elections would naturally be of great interest as some kind of litmus test of whether the party retained its hold over the electorate. In this particular case, there was even more attention on the by-polls because the constituencies were Gorakhpur and Phulpur, perhaps the two most important seats at the time. These two seats went for polls after the Chief Minister, Yogi Adityanath, and his deputy, Keshav Prasad Maurya, had vacated the seats to helm the state government. This was also the time when Mayawati and Akhilesh Yadav had sunk their differences, and the BSP and SP had gone into the by-elections as a united front. From that point of view, it would also be a test of whether a united opposition would make a difference at the hustings. A lot hinged on the results of these two seats at the by-elections. As it happened, the BJP lost both these seats to the BSP-SP combine. The Gorakhpur seat, which Adityanath had held from 1998 and had won in 2014 by a margin of more than 3 lakh votes, was lost by the BJP with over 20,000 votes in the margin. This was like a foretaste of things to come and a warning to the BJP about the public mood. Yogi Adityanath admitted as much, conceding that his party had been overconfident and had not understood the import of a combined opposition. This essentially is the setting in which UP goes to the Lok Sabha polls as well, with the BSP and SP holding on to their alliance, which for the moment seems to be a winning alliance. The question that comes up in Uttar Pradesh is about the Congress, which has chosen to go it alone after the Mahagathbandhan talks failed. The discussion was set up to fail, what with the BSP and SP alliance offering the Congress two seats. So the situation is that the Congress is set to contest all 80 seats in the state alone. However, in Uttar Pradesh, the Congress was not a meaningful force in 2014, getting a measly 7.5% of the votes in 2014. There is little to indicate that the situation has changed dramatically. So the fact that the Congress is going it alone in the state and might end up splitting the anti-BJP vote is not substantial. In fact, there is even the reading that the Congress voters, seeing the improbability of the party putting up a good show, might even end up voting for the BSP-SP alliance, leading to less fracturing of votes. In the by-elections of 2018, the vote swing against the BJP was more than 8.5%, indicating a substantial change in its popularity index. Since those by-polls, when the aftermath of the demonetization and GST implementation could be considered reasons for the reversal, the ground situation in Uttar Pradesh has changed. In what direction and by how much is still not definitely known, but there is certainly a change. The factors of unemployment and agrarian distress have come in, the second of which, that is agrarian distress, showed its strong hand in the assembly elections of Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh and Chhattisgarh. The farmer agitations when they took to the streets is also an indication of the growing unrest within that community about the ruling dispensation. The BJP has got a fillip from the tragic attack at Pulwama, enabling it to shift to the nationalism and national security narrative. But as Sanjay Kumar said on one of these podcasts earlier, that was still an urban narrative without much of an impact in the rural scenario, and even that narrative of giving the BJP a bit of an edge during the time of Pulwama terror attack has died down going into the elections Now, the Hindutva agenda, of course, continues to be strong for the BJP. But how sticky will these be, and can they override the economy-based issues? Like John Carville, the American politician, once said, economy, stupid. That's what wins elections. How these economy-based agendas and the fact that there is unemployment and agrarian distress will flip over the Hindutva agenda still, of course, remains to be seen. Coming back to the matter of vote swing that I mentioned earlier, former sophologist and political analyst Yogendra Yadav is of the opinion that the 2014 showing of the BJP in the North is an outlier, something of a black swan. Extrapolating from the by-election results, he says that with a similar swing of 8.5 to 9% across Uttar Pradesh, the BJP will get pretty much decimated to end up with a tally of 12 to 13 seats. But considering that it's quite unlikely that this extent of vote swing can happen across the entire state, one might look at swings of about 6 and 3%. In these cases too, the BJP is set to lose a number of seats. Yadav's numbers say that with a 6% swing away, the seat count would be about 23. And with a 3% swing, it would be around 34 to 35. Certainly not the kind of showing that we saw in 2014. The reason one might forward for a higher swing in Uttar Pradesh is that it is an overwhelmingly rural and agrarian state. The BJP's traditional strength is the urban areas. With the promised jobs not happening and furthering of the agrarian problem, it could be argued that the BJP will do more badly than expected. This argument would also be buttressed if the results of the Gorakhpur and Phulpur by-elections are taken to show that Adityanath's actions can impact Lok Sabha seats. Adityanath has not really done much for the state, according to most reports, that can be effectively showcased. On top of that are the memories of lynchings, the anti-Romeo squad, the inflammatory speeches. The Ayodhya issue, with the BJP's promises remaining more or less promises, is also to be considered, with the ability to make a few of the more heavily invested Hindutva loyalists frown that nothing has happened on that front. Uttar Pradesh, in a sense, holds even more importance than normal. Its mood can be part of a widespread feeling across the Hindi belt. And if this feeling is negative, substantially negative, then it becomes imperative for the BJP to make up the shortfall in other places, which are those regions and states where the party has traditionally been weak. If the relative unpopularity of the BJP in Uttar Pradesh is accepted, then the BSP-SP combine could come out of the election with 40 to 60 seats. If the BJP-led NDA is unable to get the required numbers, this would give the alliance enormous bargaining power in the scenario of a non-NDA coalition forming the government at the centre. Mayawati or Akhilesh Yadav for Prime Minister in that scenario is not unthinkable. With opinion polls becoming more and more unpredictable, it comes to the exit polls after Election Day, which are generally more reliable. Whatever the outcome, this election promises to be as absorbing as the 2014 Lok Sabha elections, and how it will unfold, we will give you a blow-by-blow account of right here on Money Control.
Decoding 2019, State of the Election, Uttar Pradesh.
Thank you for joining us on this edition of Decoding 2019, with the spotlight on the battleground state of the Indian elections, Uttar Pradesh. If you have anything to say, do write into us, mcpodcast@nw18.com. Until the next time you hear from me, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, on behalf of the Money Control Podcast Desk, saying thank you for joining us and do stay with us on moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor. And this time, your investment is going to be in saying what you want to say at the polls.
You are listening to an exclusive podcast
and you have been listening to Money Control.